For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2.
Amen.
I think it was Newton that wrote Amazing Grace. And he said, when I get to heaven, he said, I'm going to probably be surprised that some people that are there that I didn't think would be there. Then he said, I'm going to be surprised that some people I thought would be there won't be there. But he said, last of all, he said, I'm going to be amazed that God would save a sinner like me. And I stand amazed. We should always be amazed at the grace of God and salvation, all that we have in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 today. I enjoy the songs today. Enjoy the Christmas season. I hope that you'll get in on all of it, be a part of all of it, and just get involved in the spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas is the spirit of Christ. And I'll never forget, on our Family and Friends Day, one of our bus kids, a little boy, came up to me with a hot dog in his hand, and he said, this is the greatest day of my life. And why don't we make Christmas Sunday the greatest day in some child's life, man? I mean, we can't adopt every family in Jackson County, but we can make a difference and be a blessing to all these children and bus kids and probably 50, 60 families that we fed last Thursday. I don't know, Brother Gary. And we can be a blessing and be a part of it and get involved with all these children. I enjoyed the Thanksgiving presentation by the children's choir, didn't you? Wasn't that a blessing? And I haven't got over that yet. And I have to tell you a story on myself, you know. This is kind of a story on me. That night, Miss Brenda here? There she is. That night, you know, all the kids were up here, and I thought, man, what a blessing. And they'd started, you know, singing and making their recitations, quoting the verses, doing their narrative and all of that. And man, I was really enjoying it. I thought, man, this is really great. And then I looked up there, and little Tucker Burgess was saying his part, one of his parts there. And man, he was into it, and just all of a sudden, man, he broke down, started crying. And I thought, praise God. I thought, man, the Lord is touching that little boy's heart. And I thought, man, I thought, isn't it wonderful how God moves on the heart of children, you know? And man, I was down here, I was getting blessed, and I think somebody else back there, Mary or somebody, was getting blessed, man, Tucker, you know, tears were just running, and I thought, praise God. And then he steps down, and his mother starts up the aisle toward him, and I thought, man, don't let him cry, you know? I thought, he doesn't need a hug from his mama, you know? I thought, let him cry. Let God move, you know? These little boys need to feel God, know God. It's on them, you know? And here he goes out, you know, going out. And, well, come to find out, I didn't notice he had a goose egg about that size on his head. He'd run into the post back here right before the service started, and his little head was hurting. He had a knot as big as a goose egg on there, and he was hurting and trying to, you know, push through this thing, and he had a headache the size of a basketball. And here I thought he was getting blessed, but he was hurting, you know, and that one's on me, you know. It reminds me of my pastor swore. So anyway, Cassie, I said all that. God bless you. You did the right thing. It reminds me of Pastor Swore when he pastored up in down at Bolt years ago. His first pastorate, Lee Swore. He tells this story. He had a fellow saved, and fellow never been in church, probably never seen anybody baptized or anything, didn't really know much about anything, but he knew he was saved. They went over to Lake Stephen, so out, I guess outside of the Beckley area, and it was in the fall of the year or the spring of the year. But anyway, the water was really cold. And they got out into the lake, and they were good ways away from the bank. And the fella, he put him under, and he came back out, and he went, "Wow!" And he raised his hands up and started yelling, and boy, all the people started shouting on the riverbank. Well, he wasn't shouting about he was happy. He was shouting because the water was cold. Hey, listen, when I go to church, I'm going to get the blessing wherever I can find it, you know. You know. Amen. While they were shouting, that fellow was saying, "Preacher, you were right." He was saying, "You were right, this water is cold," you know. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. I want to speak this morning on the subject of open your gift. Open your gift. In Ephesians chapter 2, and beginning in verse 1, and Paul says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation," remember that, "in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the nature of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." But look in verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." What's Christmas all about? Christ Jesus. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." In verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Notice verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Now, Lord, I pray that you'd bless in these few moments. We've certainly been blessed by the singing today and by the fellowship of the saints of God. Thank you for church, and thank you for the fellowship of the saints, and thank you that our fellowship is with the Father through Jesus Christ, your Son. And I pray that today, Lord, we'd open our gift and anew and afresh today, this gift of salvation, that we take a fresh look at it. In Jesus' name, amen. I think about gift giving, and certainly the season lends itself to that. But where do we get that idea? You know, all the way back in the book of Isaiah, God spoke about gifts. He said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." But unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. A son is given. I think of what the writer said when he said, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Salvation is a gift. If it's anything, it's a gift. I think of what Paul says here when he says, "Wherein, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." When I think of a gift, I think of something that's unmerited. I think of a gift that's something that's given. And I think of a gift, I think of something that's received. We receive the gift. You know, to not receive the gift, to not open the gift is kind of an affront to the person that gave it to you. You know, there might be reasons that you wouldn't open a gift. Maybe you're waiting for another loved one to come in, or maybe someone's sick or something like that. You're going to postpone that time. But most of the time, when we have a gift before us, we want to open the gift. You know, when we were kids, we'd open the box and see what was in it, and then play with the box. You know how it was. But when we think about salvation, we think of something that's a very precious gift. It's precious because God gave the greatest gift of all, His Son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross. In Bethlehem's manger, it was the gift that Micah prophesied in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And he said that he will be born in the house of bread, Bethlehem Ephrata. And he said, the bread of heaven will come and be born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. And for us not to open that gift, you know, the Bible says, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And then Paul, years later, would write these words, that salvation is by grace through faith, and that we're saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. If we worked for it, it wouldn't be a gift. If we paid payments on it, it wouldn't be a gift. If we traded something for it, it wouldn't be a gift. There's something about a gift. It speaks of love. It speaks of favor. It speaks of grace. It speaks of mercy. It speaks of a heart that that whoever gave that gift. Gifts come in all different shapes and sizes, but I think of the gift of salvation. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We won't. We won't escape. But here Paul describes our gift. Can I just encourage you today as we look into the gift that God gave us, that you reopen your gift. Now don't wrap it back up and put it back under the tree. Don't neglect your gift. Don't neglect what God has given you. Build up yourselves, the Bible says, on your most holy faith. But take a new and fresh gift. Look at God's gift. You ever put something in the closet and then find it 10 months later? I mean, it's like Christmas time. You know? Don't do that with your salvation. Let me say a word about this gift that God gave us. First of all, God gave this gift to us in spite of sin's work that was against us. And the devil's work against us, this gift was given in spite of that. I think of the Magi who came from the east. They came and followed the star and came to Bethlehem, or maybe not Bethlehem, but about 2 years later when they found, and it says that they came and they came bringing gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And the Bible says when they came in, they didn't worship Mary, by the way, they worshiped the child. And he was probably about 2 years old by then. And they came and they worshiped him and they said, we saw his star in the east and we've come to worship him. Wise men still seek him. They came bearing gifts. That gold spoke of his deity, and the frankincense and the myrrh spoke of his royalty and spoke of his intercessory work for us and spoke of his suffering, the myrrh. But I think about that gift. In spite of all of that, Herod sought the young child to destroy him. It was sin's work against us that we would have a Savior. He put out a decree, and all the children, all the male children, as you know, in that area, 2 years old and under, were murdered. And Joseph and Mary had to take the Son of God and go into Egypt for a time and spend some time away to protect the Son of God. In spite of that, Jesus came. In spite of all that went on in the garden, no doubt about it, Satan battling Jesus as he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And he said, Father, if there be any way other than this way that I would die for the sins of mankind, let it be so. But there was no other way. Christ would have to die. The gift that came in Bethlehem's manger didn't remain a baby. He became a man. He became the God-man. He became the man of sorrows, Christ the Lord, that would go to the cross of Calvary and die for our sins. In spite of all of that, he came. In spite of a world that rejected him, he came. In spite of a people that rejected him, he came unto his own, the Jewish people, and his own received him not. But unto all that receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You and I can be grafted in Romans 11 and 10 and 11. You and I are grafted in during this time of grace when God said, look, if my people are going to reject me, I'm going to allow the Gentiles to be grafted in. I'm glad that we are. Sin's work against us. In chapter 2 and verse 1, notice we were dead, first of all. It says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. When I got saved on February 13th, 1972, and I came forward that day, and Eddie Goddard took me back in the preacher's office and led me to Jesus Christ, he didn't pull out his Bible and start fanning me and fan the flame of deity in me, because there wasn't any deity in me. He didn't fan that flame of goodness and say, now, well, here's a list of things you need to do. You need to go out of here and get better. No, he said, you're a hell-bound sinner and you need to be born again. And only Jesus can save you. And only his blood can atone for your sins. And you need to admit to God that you're a sinner and that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And I did that. And as a 16-year-old teenager, I walked out of there that day with a great load lifted and Christ in my heart. And I was saved. But when I went in there, I was dead. I was dead in trespasses and sins. And so were you. Man doesn't need a resuscitation. Man needs a resurrection. I know a funeral director that directs somewhere here in West Virginia. He told me years ago, funeral directors always have a lot of stories. But he told me this. He said, you know, there was a family, a well-meaning family years ago, he said, came here and they sincerely believed that God was going to raise their loved one from the dead. And he said, we had to stay here with them, of course, and they were here all night prior to the funeral the next day. And he said, they were here all night. They prayed, they fasted, they begged God to raise their loved one up. I said, did he raise up? And he said, no, he didn't. The truth is, he had passed. His spirit had left him. And though those people were very sincere, they could not resuscitate. They didn't have the power to resuscitate. They didn't have the power to resurrect their loved one. And neither do we. But I'm glad that we have a hope in Christ when we do say goodbye to those loved ones who die in Jesus Christ. I'm glad that there'll be a day that we'll see them in heaven. There'll be a great and grand reunion day up there. But the reason that man could not get up is because the spirit left his body. He was dead. And you and I are dead not only, we're not dead physically yet, but we're dead spiritually before we come to Christ. And Paul says this, he said, and you hath he quickened. He's resurrected our spirit and given us new life. We're regenerated. What's that mean? It means we're regened. We're born again. It means not only are we born again, but the beginning has been born in us. You hath he quickened who were dead. We were dead. That's sin's work against us. But secondly, we were disobedient, verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Boy, I was disobedient. It's our nature to be disobedient. Education won't make us better. Or education will make us maybe better, but it will not save us. Money, programs, literacy, a new career, a new environment, clothing, food, all of those things, they're all fine, but we're a disobedient people. We need a new heart. We walked according to the course of this world. And then thirdly, notice this, we were not only disobedient and dead, but the Bible says that we were depraved, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Why do we sin? Because we're sinners. Why is it that children learn at a very young age, mine, this is mine. It's that old sin nature. It's that old sin nature. Why is it that one of the deacon's grandchildren bit your child in the nursery? It's that sin nature.
No, I don't think we have any biters right now. Now, if we do, I don't know about it. They're depraved, disobedient, dead. But notice this, doomed. In spite of sin's work against us, Jesus came. The Bible says we were the children of wrath, even as others. Open your gift this morning. Man, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back to trespasses and sins. I don't want to go back. I don't want to revisit that place unless it's just remembering that Jesus saved me from all of that. I do want God to roll back the curtain of memory now and then, show me where He brought me from, where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and tend to forget, but remind me, dear Lord, the song says. Sins work against us, but notice, secondly, God's work for us. Open your gift this morning. Open your gift. Look in verse 4. Well, it looks bad. We're dead in trespasses and sins. We're disobedient. We're walking as we did in times past in the lust of our flesh. We're by nature the children of wrath. But look at verse 4. But God intervened. He came unto His own and His own received Him not. But, John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. But God, that's grace. That's what Christmas is all about. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us. God's work for us. God's work for us is expressed through His love. God's work for us shows us through His quickening power. It says in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. He's exalted us. Look in verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The book of Ephesians is called the Holy of Holies of Paul's epistles. It lines up with the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. As he wrote this book in Ephesus, Ephesus was a wicked city. One of the 7 or 8 wonders of the ancient world was there, the Temple of Diana. It was 425 feet long, 220 feet wide. It was one of the great wonders of the ancient world. It was a place that was ripe for revival. You say America's in a pitiful place today. It is. I mean, I never thought I'd see the day that we're seeing what we see every day in America. But you know what? Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Hey, it's pretty dark. Yes, it's dark, but Christ is the light. It's dark out there. And yes, we've got things worse than the Temple of Diana in America today that people are falling down and worshiping. They might as well. But I want you to know it only takes a little bit of light to shine in the darkness to make a difference. This was the first of the prison epistles. Paul spent 3 years here. It was the capital of heathen worship of that day. But God moved in. And they saw one of the greatest revivals that they'd ever seen in Ephesus. In fact, there were thousands of people that gathered in that great amphitheater, in that great stadium in Ephesus. I've stood there. It's one of you'd never need a microphone in Ephesus. You can stand there, down there on the stage, and all around you is built into the mountainside, just a beautiful stone seating. You can just picture how it was in the first century Rome when all those people would gather there. And you can just clap your hands and speak a word and people can hear you all the way on the back row. And the people of that place, when revival broke out, they took those little silver shrines to Diana and they were throwing it in the fire. They were burning their books. They were having a book burning. They were throwing away their curious arts, the Bible says. They, When revival breaks out, listen, when Billy Sunday came to Charleston, West Virginia, listen, the bars closed down in 1922. God moved in. When God sent a revival to Wales, they said in the mines of, in the coal mines of Wales, that the mules and the donkeys didn't know how to respond to a command when those Welsh miners got saved because they quit cussing. It even affects the donkeys when revival breaks out. It affected things in Ephesus. And they were in there and they were chanting, "Great is the Diana of the Ephesians," and the others that had gotten right with God were getting arrested and beat up. And I mean, they were having they'd already had a revival. Now it had broken out into a riot. And Paul said, "I want to step into this place." I mean, as I sat there and pictured this, I thought of all those people churning in there, just this massive humanity. And Paul wants to wade in there and preach the gospel to that crowd. Paul says, "Let me at him. I'll get in. I'll tell him." And they said, "Paul, it's not good timing. You'll get killed." Now, Paul would die for the cause of Christ, but God wasn't done with him. He didn't want him to die there. You can read about it over in Acts 19, I think. They said, "Paul, no, you need to get out of here. I want you to know what God did to that great shrine." I think it's a swampy area now. There's no eighth wonder of the world now in Ephesus. But that's where Paul was. That was the culture that he was preaching in. And he says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then he's exalted you. He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Boy, it's hard to sit in heavenly places in the world that we live in today. But God's called us to do that. God's called us to do that. Make your home a heavenly place. Make your job a heavenly place. You say, "I don't like my job." Then make it as heavenly as you can until you find a better job. "You hath he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. He's exalted us. He's quickened us. He's loved us. He keeps us." Look in verse 7, "that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." As far as God's concerned, he's already glorified us. He's raised us up to sit together in heavenly places. Look, Romans teaches that. We're justified, sanctified, glorified. As far as God's concerned, he sees us there. We're just not there yet. Flossie Powers is there today. Dell and Anna Boyce are there today. Praise God. I'm headed there one day, aren't you? We're headed to that place. But God keeps us. In spite of the devil's work, in spite of the culture, in spite of all that we face, he keeps us. You say, "How do you know that, Brother Rick?" Look in verse 7. God says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He said that in the ages to come. You know what God was saying? He's saying, "All of you that I've saved," he said, "I'm looking forward that in the ages to come, I'm going to see you in heaven." God's not going to send his son to die for your sins and my sin, and to go through all of that and to take hell on him and the sins of mankind and to suffer death and hell and the grave and overcome all of that and pay for our sin debt with his precious, propitiating, powerful, purposeful blood and then lose us. God said, "I'm looking forward in the ages to come to seeing you in heaven." That's what he says right there. In the ages to come, I'm going to see you there. You act like you don't believe that. It says, "You hath he quickened, raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." This is just a warm-up for heaven. "For by grace are you saved through faith." Not only are we saved in the past, February 13th, 1972, but it's in the linear tense. I was saved then, And I continue to be saved. The effects of that salvation continue through December 4th, 2022. That's true with you. He keeps us. God doesn't save us and say, well, hey, you know, I heard a Baptist preacher, he needed to change his denomination. I heard a Baptist preacher say one time, he says, God saved you, God forgave you of all your sins up until the moment that you got saved. And then he says, it's up to you to stay saved after that. And I thought, I don't know what Bible you're reading from. I don't know what chapter and verse you're reading from, but that is unscriptural, friend. He says that in the ages to come, I'm going to see you in heaven. Do we deserve that? No, I don't deserve that. You don't deserve that. He's loved us. He's exalted us. He's quickened us. He keeps us. I still like that phrase where it says, but God. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, John said, speaking of Jesus. And the darkness comprehended it not. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. By the way, again, John Calvin was wrong. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But God, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's you and that's me, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Amen. Hey, I'm part of the royal family. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. I'm an heir and joint heir with God. I love what Joe Mazzulla said the other day. They asked him about the royal family visiting in Boston. And Coach Joe Mazzulla of the Boston Celtics said, oh, you mean Joseph and Mary, Jesus? I thought, man, what a great answer. You and I are a member, we're members of the royal family. You say, I'm broke. No, you're rich. You're rich in Him. He's exalted you. He'll keep you saved in the ages to come. He'll not lose you. Open your gift this morning. Listen, I hear my dad and mom talk about getting a piece of candy at Christmas time. An apple, an orange on a good day. Look, if all we got was salvation, it's more than we deserve. God's work in us. Finally, in verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There again. If God ordained that we should walk in good works, I don't think He's going to lose us. We are His workmanship. It's an ongoing process. Someone said we're not saved by faith plus good works. We're saved by a faith that works. It's a process. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so when we're born again, God births us into His family that we might serve Him. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. A workman. Just like here, unto good works. Good works follow salvation. They don't achieve salvation. God saves us to be used. He wants us to be used. If you've ever had a Ken Liege knife, you've got a nice one. Ken Liege made me a knife a few years ago. I said, Ken, I want you to make me one of those hunting knives. Man, he made me a fancy one. I gave him a deer horn, and he made the handle out of a deer horn just beautiful. It was just beautiful. And he made the, you know, the thing for it, the leather pouch. Sheath, thank you. Y'all don't respond when I want you to. I mean, it was just shining. And he etched a cross in the end of the handle. Nice turquoise around the finger guard there. I think he put my initials in it, in the sheath, the leather sheath. It's beautiful. You say, how many times have you used it? I never have. I can't. I mean, I told him that. He said, Brother Rick, he said, I make those knives to be used. And I said, well, it doesn't look like it ought to be used. I said, it's too beautiful. He said, I didn't make it to the display. He said, I made it for you to use. I want you to use it. I still haven't. But you know what? God saved us to be used. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He doesn't want us just to look good. He wants us to not just display. When Paul talks about put on the whole armor of God, and then he says, take unto you the whole armor of God. One of them has the idea of display. The other has the idea of defense. We're always to display Him. But there are times that we pull the sword out to go to battle for Him. Notice in verse 11, open your gift. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. He says, remember where I saved you from. Verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promises, having no hope, without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus. Open your gift this Christmas. Open your gift. Open your gift. Now, he says, hey, you were aliens. That's a harsh word. You were strangers. You had no hope. You were without God. You were without hope. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off. Now, I couldn't get any further away than I was. Are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, let's open your gift. Let me read to you about the gift here again. Look over in chapter 1 across the page, verse 18. Open your gift, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Open your gift this morning, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Open your gift and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all. Take a new look at your salvation today. Far above all. Far above all, open your gift this morning. Far above all principality, far above all power, far above all might, far above all dominion, far above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Open your gift this morning. It's a great salvation we have. Not only that, He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. All in all. All in all. He's all. He's all we need. He's all we need. Open your gift. Open your gift. Take a fresh look at it. You say, I've had my gift. I've had it kind of covered lately. Open your gift. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine all over Ripley. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Open your gift. Open your gift this morning.